Welcome, colleagues, back to the office. It's Steve. Welcome to our podcast for today. This is Everything Google, the Most Effective Tools, Apps, and Services, Part 1. This is a new series for us where we're going to be examining Google and all the various interesting facts, features, functions, platforms, services, products that they offer. They are a massive application in terms of all the breadth of different things that they do. And there are so many different things that you can utilize Google inside of your organization, from search, you know, which is something we probably all do every single day, to Google Analytics for your website or Google Merchant Services if you're looking to sell stuff online. Or even if you would like to host your entire company applications and products and computers up in the cloud, you can do that inside of Google. In today's podcast, what we're going to be looking at are some of the more effective ways that you can utilize Google search tools. In a nutshell, I'm going to teach you how to use Google effectively and how to actually be able to search and find what you are looking for. There's a hidden language of operators and features and functions in a way of asking your question inside of Google to get the response that you are looking for. And so we're going to explore a lot of the different things that you can do inside of Google search. And we're also going to look at some of the specific types of Google search, specialty searches that you can use to narrow down the results of what you're looking for. For example, finding the latest news or finding the latest financial information or shopping or even finding the latest information on the ski reports and where, what mountains you should take your board to or your skis to have a great weekend or maybe just a day outside of the office. In future editions of this course, we're going to dive into some of the other products that Google offers, including Analytics, the Search Console, Android, and others. There are no shortage of things that we can discuss with respect to Google. Now, Google has just about everything. I mean, whether they be web products, development products, operating system products, hardware products, and even some really compelling future products. Google is one of the big companies, for example, behind self-driving cars. So please stay tuned, keep a subscribe and like on this podcast, and you'll learn everything that you could possibly need to know with respect to utilizing Google. Now, I do want to draw your attention that today's podcast is eligible for CPE credit. If you are a financial professional, and I hope you are, you can earn credits for listening and participating into today's podcast. It's super simple. Head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code GOG1, take a short 5-question exam, and you can earn a CPE credit for today's course. It'll only take you a minute or two, and you'll be well on your way with respect to maintaining your licensing. How cool is that? All right, without further ado, let's just go ahead and dive into our podcast for today. And we are, again, going to be focusing on Google search. We are going to be focusing on everything that you need to know with respect to utilizing these search tools correctly. Now, Google search is by far the most widely used search application in the world. Everybody uses it for everything under the sun, whether you're trying to find your address for a distant relative in North Dakota, or you're trying to find a deal and the best product to buy for Christmas, or you're looking, for example, to just understand maybe guidance from the IRS on how to handle a particular expense for your tax return. You can use Google to find those results. And in fact, Google is so widely used, I would say that their name, Google, is synonymous with search. When I think of searching, I immediately think of Google in the same way that I think of an escalator as being a movable staircase, you know? And they have absolutely dominated that search market with almost 100% market share, about 92.74%, handling more than 3.5 billion searches every single day. I mean, if you think about that, that number is just absolutely mind-boggling when you think about how much and how much that they are actually doing and what their services and products are actually being used for and how many people every single day are utilizing their products and services. Now, Google's methodology for search is based on a priority system called PageRank. Kind of a fun antidote with respect to what PageRank means. If you remember the The two founders of Google originally were Sergey Brin and Larry Page. Page was the one who ultimately came up with the algorithm for this. And as such, they named it after him. So it is PageRank after Larry Page. Now, the way Google search results work, it's really kind of based around intent and relevancy to the search query. You know, when you're searching for something, Google ultimately wants to give you an answer for whatever you're looking for. You know, so if I search, for example, best pizza in New York, the first result should be, in fact, the absolute best pizza in New York. Or if I'm searching for a deal for a cruise, the website that comes up should be historically the best at providing that particular result. Getting to the front page of Google is often something a lot of businesses and organizations look to do in terms of trying to dominate their particular sector of the market. And it's, in fact, very difficult, but it is something that can't be done. Ultimately, the best advice I could ever give you with respect to search engine optimization would be to create outstanding, relevant content that answers a user's question, that gives it the intent of what they're looking for, and is ultimately very relevant to whatever that search is. Now, the Google search works by indexing terabytes, millions and billions of different web pages that are out there, and it attempts to find a ranking based off of what data it sees. It tries to find the absolute best information it can by searching the web. And we sometimes call this spidering the web or crawling the web, where it'll go out and it's doing this constantly 24/7, searching the web, trying to find new websites, new web pages within existing websites, and learning essentially what that content is and how it functions. Now, Google also downloads a copy of that particular website as well. It caches it. So if that website ever goes offline, Google still has the information that was contained on that website. In addition to websites, it also indexes a number of other documents as well, including PDFs, Word documents, Excel, spreadsheets, PowerPoint presentations, you name it, Google has it. And they do this because ultimately, again, they're trying to answer questions. That's what they are trying to do. Now, within Google, there are a couple of different type of results that we should be aware of. We have organic, and then we also have paid results. Now, if you've ever wondered how the heck does Google able to provide this incredible service of search, well, ultimately, at the end of the day, they are a advertising company. And within Google search, we will see two categories of results. We will see paid results, and then we will see organic results. Now, the way Google makes their money is by having an auction for different positions inside of the search results. So, you know, let's say your company doesn't have, in fact, the best pizza in New York. Well, for the right price, Google can make you seem that you have the highest, or not the highest, but the best pizza in New York. It will put your result at the top in their paid results category. And you can always tell what the paid results are versus what the organic results are, is because the organic results will always be below the paid results, and the paid results will always be on top. Additionally, you'll always see kind of like a little word that says ad next to it, indicating that that result has been sponsored. And sponsors will pay anywhere from a couple of cents to several dollars just to get to the top of that Google search result and to get your click. So it is a competitive business in terms of trying to get to that top of Google. Generally, what I would recommend that you focus on when you're doing your searches is looking at the organic result. The organic result is what you should consider the most relevant or probably the best with respect to what your search query is. It will always be below that paid result. Now, searching for Google has a specific cadence. It has a specific methodology. There's a way of going about this that really kind of will get you the result that you're looking for. There's a way of asking a question, you know, inside of Google to get the result. I would consider one of my best skills as a financial professional, as a software developer, as a researcher who writes and discusses on technology on a regular basis, I depend on Google to find the information that I'm looking for and to be able to produce relevant results with a question that I want to ask. And so writing the right question can be very, very helpful in terms of getting the result that you're looking for. If you ask a bad question, you are going to get a bad result. And that's obviously not what we want to do. So when you go to ask your question inside of Google, there are some general recommendations that I would tell you to do. First off, use as few words as possible. When you go to do a search, for example, you don't need to include a lot of adjectives or adverbs or prepositions or other types of grammatical things that you would normally say in common parlance, but just the key words of what you're looking for. For example, let's say you've got an error on Windows. You go to launch QuickBooks, you go to launch Microsoft Excel, and you get an error that pops up. You don't need to type in what you're feeling about this, like horrible error inside of QuickBooks, or I can't figure this out inside of Excel. Instead, just narrow it down to the handful of words that describe the issue that you're having in depth. And then inside of that, if there's, for example, like a error message, that's probably the best thing you could probably put in. So as few words as possible that accurately and precisely describe the issue that you're having. And if you got some sort of like terminology that's specific to that error, like an error code, an error message, that's definitely what you're going to want to use. And then you'll ultimately get the data that you're looking for in a more precise way. However, it doesn't end there. Google has a number of ways that you can modify your search query, and we call these search operators. Search operators help narrow down exactly to what we are looking for, and they're great to find a particular site, a date, a result type that you're looking for, and they allow you to be able to find things in a much more precise way. And in doing so, you're going to get a better result for what you're looking for. And so using a search operator is something that gets amended to the actual query yourself. So for example, let's say you wanted to narrow it down to a specific site, or you wanted to narrow it down to a specific result type. Well, you would type in whatever you're looking for, and then you would use an operator in addition to that query. And in addition to that, it is going to narrow the results down to more precisely show what you are looking for. And so operators are great when you're trying to find a specific thing, a specific website, a specific file, a specific news article. Maybe you're trying to find somebody on social media like LinkedIn, Facebook, or other things like that. But once you know about parameters and operators, you'll use them pretty much anywhere that you would want. So we can also combine operators to do different things that we would like it to do. Let's say, for example, I am a CFO at a manufacturing company, and I'm scratching my head here. It's the end of the year. We know we want to start, for example, our budgeting process for the coming year. Well, I don't maybe have a specific budget template in mind. I want to maybe get some ideas or some thoughts about what this budget might look like. Well, I can turn to Google and I can look to see if anybody put out, for example, a budget template that might be useful for my project. Well, I'll go to Google, I'll type in budget. And if I just typed in budget, what I would end up getting is just some generic results about what budgets are. But if I use some operators, for example, manufacturing or a file type, I can narrow it down to get a specific type of budget that might be exactly what I'm looking for. So for example, if I were to search budget plus manufacturing file type XLSX, I would get exactly what I'm looking for. I would get a budget specifically including the term manufacturing of the file type Excel.xlsx. And so we're going to focus on taking a look at a variety of these different search operators, and because they can really do and really kind of add a lot of value to our search. Alrighty. So there are a number of operators that we should be aware of, but let's go ahead and take a look at some of our basic ones that we might want to use. And then we're going to go ahead and switch over to Google and actually do some searching to kind of get a sense of what these do. Okay, so we have the minus operator. The minus operator is fantastic when we want to exclude a specific term or service or company or something of that nature. For example, if we were to go search for, let's say, firework companies. Okay. Well, there are several different companies as well as several different products called fireworks, And so, one such company, is a software company, Adobe. They make a product that they did for a long time called Adobe Fireworks. And so if I were to go search for firework companies, a lot of the results that I would get is going to be around, that Adobe product. Well, you know what? What I can do is I can use the minus sign. And with that minus sign, I could exclude Adobe. By doing minus Adobe, it will remove that option from the search results. And so we will not see Adobe results pop up there. Now, we can also use the pipe character, okay? The pipe character will give us an or. Sometimes we want to, for example, search for something and or between these two different items, you know? So let's say, for example, we're doing some Christmas shopping and I want to find the perfect gift and I'm not sure if it might be a computer or a tablet. Well, if I put a pipe character between the two words, Google will execute that search using the Boolean logic of or between computer or tablet. We can search for exact things. This is probably one I use the most, which are double quotes. Double quotes, for example, will only search for that exact term exactly as it appears inside of the query. This is really useful, for example, with searching for error messages when our computer or an application returns a problem. By using those quote marks, we will narrow the search down to exactly as it is written. We can use an asterisk. An asterisk is really great for when we are looking for a wild card, you know? So like, let's say, for example, we were to go look and we wanted to find the best restaurants or the best sightseeing places or the best accounting firms or whatever. Well, if we use the asterisk, Google will substitute that asterisk for any series of other words. And so it's going to try to find something for best blank in blank. In this case, best blank in America. We can also group terms together by using parentheses and also combining it, for example, here with the pipe character. So in this particular example here, we would see best or worst office suite. So maybe that will help us get some contrast if we're looking, for example, for different office productivity applications that we can use to understand. Let's go ahead and switch over and take a look with respect to how we can utilize some of these operators. Okay, so let's say, for example, we wanted to go look for the best pizza in New York. So we're going to go ahead and say best pizza in New York as an example. One of my favorite things about Google is the fact that it will autocomplete for whatever I'm looking for. And we're going to go ahead and pop this up here. Now, we will see a variety of other results. Google, for example, when it knows it's looking for geo-specific things, will typically show us a map as well as kind of a ranked location listing of things around us as well. This is kind of a new feature with this where I'll show you similar queries that other people have asked. And so maybe it is something around what you were looking for. Okay, and so if I scroll down here, I will see the different opportunities and some of the different search queries that will come back. And ultimately, whatever is listed here as number one should be the best option. Now, if I wanted to, for example, just look at maybe Yelp reviews, I can throw in that plus sign at the end and I can go ahead and say plus Yelp. And in doing so, you'll notice that it will return just those Yelp reviews that will pop up. You know, let's say, for example, I don't want to include Yelp views. Well, that's where I could use the minus Yelp if I'm looking for, and it will specifically exclude any websites that are on Yelp. It will not include that specific issue. So understanding how these operators work can be very helpful with respect to narrowing down the search of what we are looking for. Let's say, for example, we got an error message. And let's say it is with QuickBooks, okay? And let's go ahead and just use this example here. So there is an error code here, OL221-A, okay? Well, an example of where a quote marks might be effective would be for putting this whole thing in quotes. And in doing so, we will get only results that have that exact phrase in that exact order that come back to us. Okay. So, and if we wanted to exclude something, for example, maybe we don't like this Quicken support. Well, we can go ahead and do a minus Quicken support.org here. Okay. And in doing so, it will specifically, let's see, did I get that right? It helps if you spell it correctly. Okay. And if we go ahead and do that, we'll notice that that result specifically goes away. Okay, so we can combine these things, we can add them together, we can use them in whatever order that we would like, and Google will execute the whole phrase as it is written to ensure that whatever we are looking for is the correct phrase that gets returned back. And so using this can be a really effective way for understanding how to find what we are looking for. Let's go ahead and take a look at a couple other popular search operators. Now, there are other operators that we can use for other purposes to find specific versions of a material or a specific type of material that we're looking for. We have the cache operator, okay? The cache operator will not take you to a specific website, but instead show you a version of that website that is stored on Google's servers. So it's a great way, for example, to be able to check out a website without actually going to that website, or where I use it more specifically is with finding a website that's offline. Maybe it's a resource material or a research material, website of some sort. Maybe it's on a university website or a government website and it's offline. Well, that cache version can at least get you the data you're looking for. Often, many of the things about that site will be broken. So you might see some broken links, broken images, but usually the data will be present. Now, we can also use the file type operator. The file type operator will help you find a specific thing that you're looking for. So we'll take a look here in a minute of using this to go find our budget worksheet as an example. And so if I wanted to find a specific Excel workbook, well, I can use the file type .xlsx and it will return just back those Excel workbooks. Or if we wanted to find a PDF, we could use .pdf for that same reason. We could find terms around what we're looking for. The related one could be really useful. So maybe, for example, I'm looking at a particular news article and it's interesting and I want to see some other perspectives, maybe from other journalists. Well, I can use related and then whatever domain I'd like it to be. So, for example, related to the New York Times. And it's going to show me stuff not from the New York Times, but similar to that. So the Washington Post, maybe the Chicago Tribune, the LA Times, something like that. We can also narrow our results down to a specific website and a specific domain, you know? So if we wanted to narrow our results to one website, not all websites, or search just a specific website, that can be really effective. Now, out of the ones that are listed here, the two that I use quite often are sites and file type. I find these to be particularly useful when I want to narrow down to that specific website or I'm looking for a specific file type. Let's go ahead and take a look at what those might be. Okay, so let's say we wanted to go search a specific site. So let's say we wanted to get 2106 expense guidance from the IRS. So let's go ahead and type in 2106 expenses. Okay, and we're going to see we're going to get some stuff from the IRS here, but there's also going to be some stuff from Intuit. It looks like we got something here from the state of Georgia, H&R Block. You know what? I really just want to focus on getting results from the IRS. Well, we'll come up here to our search bar. We'll type in site and we're going to go ahead and type in irs.gov, the top level domain of whatever we're looking for. Let's zoom in a little bit, make it a little bit easier for you folks. And when we get this result back, every single site listed in the results will be that irs.gov website. And so we've narrowed down our search specifically to that. Now, if we wanted to, we could also say, you know what? I really just want to get the 2106 PDF, you know, the explanation of what that PDF is. The IRS has example forms of what it's looked like in prior years, for example, for 2020. And maybe I just want to see results that have that .pdf extension. Okay, well, we can do that as well. We'll come up here to our search bar and we're going to go ahead and type in file type .pdf, just like this. And when we execute that, let's take out the dot. Maybe it doesn't need it. There we go. Just file type PDF, and we will see that every single result type that we get back is that PDF. And in fact, you can always tell that what you're working with a file type, not HTML, not a website, because at the end of the web URL that you'll see right here, it'll tell you if it is a different type. So that file type here, we can see all of these files are PDFs. Let's go ahead and take a look at that manufacturing budget example I mentioned earlier. Okay, so let's just do a generic budget example. Okay, and in doing so, we'll get a bunch of different results that come back from Google here. Okay, so we can see there's stuff from NerdWallet, stuff from Intuit, stuff from Corporate Finance Institute, so on and so forth. But let's narrow this down. Let's go ahead and say manufacturing. Okay. And so now this is going to only include or must include manufacturing as part of the term. Okay. So let's go ahead and say file type, and we're going to say XLSS, which is the file type for Excel. Oops. Let's try .xlsx. I put that. Nope. Okay. Let's try file type Excel. Nope. I guess not. Why? Okay, let's just put in .xlsx. That should get us what we were looking for. Okay, and in fact, it does. We can see a few other terms will pop up here. Now, some of the operators can be kind of finicky with respect to the different ways that you will search for them. So sometimes you got to play around with it to ultimately get what you're looking for. But we see here that there are some different examples of budgets and some different examples of the manufacturing budgets, as well as Excel workbooks that are included here. So those are the two types that I use quite often, and I am a big fan of both of them, and I use them for a lot of the different things that I use. Okay, now we also have different operators to be able to search for general information. If we want to, for example, get a definition of something, we can use the define operator. That will return back a dictionary definition of something. So if we're looking up a specific word, we can do and just type in define, you know, gregarious, define, business, define whatever we're looking for, and it'll get a definition of that specific word. We can also look up a time for a particular place. Often when I'm trying to schedule meetings with clients in Europe or Asia, I don't know off the top of my head the time in Stockholm or Berlin or Moscow or Beijing. Well, I can just look up the time in that way. We can use it for conversion. More on that here in a little bit. So we can convert between different measurement units. We could translate. Google Translate is probably one of the best translation services that are out there. So it's very useful to be able to take one term from one language and put it into another. We can also use it for the weather as well. So I use this for a lot of different things. I would say out of the ones that are presented here, Translate's very useful when you're, you know, traveling and you need to be able to look up something from one language into the other. I use weather constantly when I'm at home, just trying to understand what the weather is going to be like in my area. And I also use the time one quite often when I am trying to understand what the time will be in another area. Let's go ahead and take a look at how we would use a couple of these tools. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and type in weather, and let's go ahead and type in weather for Phoenix. Okay, so even in the autocomplete, you'll see, for example, it will start to present the weather before you even actually execute on that page. And so if we see here for Phoenix at the moment, we see a nice forecast. We can see throughout the day as well as for the next several days that will pop up. Okay, let's say we wanted to translate. And let's go ahead and say translate hello. And we'll just type in translate hello. And let's do it to Russian as an example here. Okay, and so it's going to pop up here right at the top of our results, giving us our English word as well as our Russian word. We can go back and forth if we'd like. So if we're, you know, trying to translate something on page, we can. And in fact, we can even hear a pronunciation of that. So if we would like to learn how to pronounce that, we can hear it pronounced as well. And we can even speak to it in terms of the different words that we are looking for. So quite nice. Let's go ahead and see the time, what it would be in Moscow. Okay, so we just type in time in Moscow. We'll see that this is in fact the time here, and also give us the time zone of what we are looking for. Alrighty. So it is in fact time for our quiz. Alrighty. So how would you search for a specific set of terms in Google? So if you got a specific range of terms that you're looking for and you just wanted to search for them, how would you do it? Okay, would you use the minus sign in the query? So if you'd use the minus sign if you wanted to exclude that. So I'm going to go ahead and say that's not the correct answer. Would you enclose a query in single quotes? No, you would not enclose a query in single quotes. Okay, would you use a plus sign in a query? Well, that would be if we wanted to append a query with an additional term. So that wouldn't be the right one either. The correct answer in this particular example would be to put the search query in double quotes. If we put the search query in double quotes, we will always get back the data that we are looking for. So double quotes are great for error messages when you're looking for a specific set of terms that you would like to use. Okay, let's narrow it down and take a look at a couple of specific let's say, features of Google search, some specific subset of specialty searches that we can do inside of Google. News is probably one of my favorite things that I can do inside of Google because it allows me to be able to easily find a lot of information on a specific topic. Google News is essentially an aggregation service, which is going to present a continuous flow of articles organized by lots of different people. There's news agencies, magazines, blogs, lots of different publishers for whatever we're looking for. And we can find pretty much any topic from pretty much any publication around the world, okay? And getting access to the Google search is quite easy. So let's say, for example, we wanted to go and search for accounting news, okay? Well, in doing so, all we would have to do is just do our normal search. So we would go ahead and bring up Google here. We type in accounting news, for example, and the default is going to show us just a listing of websites that show us accounting news. But if we switch over top here and click the news button, we will now, in fact, see different news articles. So we can see there's some information coming from Accounting Today, the Journal of Accountancy, so on and so forth. Let's go ahead and take a look and maybe try to find some information about a band. Okay, one of my favorite band would be the Rolling Stones. Okay, let's see if there's any good news about the Rolling Stones. Okay, so it can see that maybe they've got some unreleased tracks that are coming out. We can see, for example, some other news that have popped down here. It looks like from Rolling Stone magazine, some other things like that that we could use. Now, let's say, for example, we've got our Rolling Stone magazine as an example here. Well, this is where we could also choose to focus maybe just on that magazine. So we can just go ahead and say rollingstone.com, and we will see just information coming from that specific magazine. So finding news can be quite useful in terms of what you're looking for. It's a great way of staying on top of what's going on in the world. And it's a service that I use pretty much every day, all throughout the day as well. Now, for our financial professionals in the audience, Google is a fantastic financial search tool. It's great because it allows you to be able to keep an eye on the financial information that is important to you. You can use it to monitor specific assets. You can look at entire markets. You can even compare assets against each other. They've got a whole range of charts, graphs, news, and more. You can even upload your whole finance portfolio to Google Finance, and it'll keep you up to date with any market information related to those specific terms. So the Google Finance, it can be useful because we could search for specific stocks. We can search for specific companies or industries that are relevant and important to us. So let's go ahead and use this as an example here. So just from our base Google page, let's go ahead and just put in a stock ticker. Let's go ahead and say APPL for Apple here. And so it's going to show us, for example, the market summary. So Apple is currently trading at 121. Okay, we can see it's up. We can see a nice little ticker with respect to the value of that particular stock, the current price over whatever time period that we would like. So, you know, we can see the absolute rocket trajectory that Apple has taken over the last decade. Now, we can also choose to follow. If we go ahead and click this, it's going to specifically notify us when other additional information about this is present. On the right-hand side here, we'll see a listing of the different Apple key metrics. You know, the founder information, where they're located, their CEO. If we scroll down a little bit further here, we'll see some top stories related to that, and then it'll continue through the regular information related to that security. Now, if we click over here to more about Apple Inc., this is going to go ahead and take us into our Google Finance. And from that Google Finance, this is where we can kind of dive in deeper, looking at specific markets, comparing, for example, key financial metrics about Apple against its competitors, and lots more information that might come. But you can monitor entire markets without ever having to leave Google, which I find to be quite useful just for all the great things that you can use this for. Now, another specialty search within Google is Google Shopping. Okay, Google Shopping allows users to find specific products. They can shop websites specifically. They can compare product prices between different vendors. And they've also got a number of filters that are really useful. So we can filter based off of price, only above a certain threshold or below a certain threshold or in specific categories. And what's awesome about this is that it can search both online as well as traditional brick and mortar stores. So if you're wanting to know, you know, I need maybe a new USB webcam for my computer and I don't want to wait 2 days for Amazon to get it to me. Well, guess what? You know, you can use this and it can actually search in your local community to try to find that specific product that you're looking for. So it's not just limited to online retailers. And you can check that out by going to google.com/shopping. And it's also listed right at the top of the page as well. Now, Google also is a travel agent, believe it or not. Google can search flights. It can also do hotels, which we'll talk about here in a moment. You can use it to book all different types of things related to your travel that you might want to do. Google Flights is a great way because it will search and do the heavy lifting between the different airlines for you, as well as a variety of third-party suppliers. So whether you're trying to find airline tickets, whether you're trying to book a hotel, I often find that Google is probably one of the most effective tools to be able to kind of manage your travel. So let's go ahead and take a look at what we could do this and how this would function if we were to go and do a search. Okay, so just from our basic Google page here, let's just go ahead and say flights to New York. Okay, we got to go get that slice of pizza that we want here. Okay, so if we type in flights from New York, we can go ahead and see my origin, which would be in the Los Angeles area, to New York. You know what? I'm not ready to leave just yet. Maybe we want to plan this trip post COVID. So let's go ahead and say, and hopefully here, let's say that that might be in early June. So let's say we want to leave on a Tuesday and we want to come back on the following Tuesday. Okay. So it's going to go ahead and start to do those searches for us. And we can see that there are some tremendous deals here. Now I'm a Delta guy, and I think this is a great price right here. Okay, nonstop flight from LAX for $217. And then if I click on it, it will go ahead and will show me some more information about that. And will give me, for example, a nice breakdown of the different prices, where the airport is. So we can see we're coming from LAX to JFK, so on and so forth. And I can even shop other options if I'd like. Now, if I continue to scroll down here, we can see, for example, that there are some listings of different hotels. And man, are there some great deals right now if you are able to travel. So we can see some of the different hotel options there here. If we click the explore button, this will show us a variety of restaurants. It will show us a variety of things to do. It will show us other locations, you know, for example, of what we're interested in. So, you know, if it can help us find other things that we might want to do, if it's not New York, maybe it's, you know, for example, Washington, DC or Charleston or Boston, which is kind of nice. If we click over here to the things to do, this is going to show us a nice breakdown of what's available in the city. And in New York, there is no shortage of amazing places to check out, whether they be museums, which hopefully open soon. My personal favorite would probably be some theater. Hopefully we get some theater coming back here sometime soon. But when that does, Google is going to point me in the right direction and show me all of the shows that I might want to check out at some point in the future. So Google Flights can be your go-to with respect to finding and booking your next ideal travel destination. Now, Google can also be really effective for finding images. Google Images is fantastic for finding photos, graphics, clip arts, really kind of anything that you're looking for. And you can even do a reverse search. So if you've got an image and you want to find stuff about that image, maybe you got a piece of art, maybe you have a picture of a painting that you took when you were in the Louvre many years ago and you can't remember where that painting took place or the artist, well, guess what? You can do a reverse search too, where if you have a picture, it will show you information about that picture as well. And you could refine your search, for example, to look for particular types of images, sizes, categories, colors, resolutions. And it's great for a lot of different things. You know, whether you're trying to put together a presentation, a document, building a web page or anything else kind of requiring graphics, you know, Google Images can be really useful with respect to understanding and finding, understanding different types of images, and then finding those relevant images for your particular project. Now, I'm going to point out it is the responsibility of the user to ensure that you properly license those images. Google just indexes them. They are not the police with respect to copyrights. So if you are looking for something, ensure that you have properly licensed that image. Now, it is very simple, and you could find images for just about anything that you are looking for. You know, I've used this for presentations. I've used this for family gatherings and personal projects. And, you know, it works just the same way as normal search would. So let's come back over here to Google and let's go ahead and take a look. And let's just say we wanted to go and search for images of Big Bear Lake, California, my hometown. Okay, so by default, it's going to go ahead and just pop up that Google search, but up here in the search bar, you'll see images listed. And if you click the images option, it's going to go ahead and take you just directly into Google Images. And we can see there are some beautiful images of my gorgeous hometown listed here. And we can go ahead and click on any one of these and we'll take us more information. So it could be, for example, to the Visit California website, or it could be to Blue Green Vacations or Realtor or wherever else that we would like. Now, up at the top here, we can also see different categories that might be of interest. So pictures about California, summer, so on and so forth. Now, a pro tip would be to come over here to the tools section. And if we click the tools section here, this is where we can focus on a specific subset of images. So only large images, medium images, we can go for specific color palette types. We can go ahead and search for specific times. Maybe I only want to find stuff that's within the last year. Well, if we go ahead and we can search, we can find just images that have been uploaded just within the last year. So the same great search that we have come to rely upon Google, we can also do with visuals as well. Alrighty, let's go ahead and have another polling question and review question. Okay, what does the asterisk character represent in a Google search? Okay, is it to specifically include a term? No, if we wanted to specifically include a term, we would use the plus sign. Is it to specifically exclude a term? No, we would specifically use the minus sign. Is it as a wildcard to broaden a term? Yes, that is when we would want to use a wildcard and use that asterisk. Is it to limit the search for a specific domain? No, we would use the site operator to do that. So those are some different ways that we can go ahead and use that wildcard. And so wildcard is great when we want to add some ambiguity, some broadness to a specific term that we are looking to use. Now, Google can even help you figure out where you should be going skiing and what slopes that you might want to go and check out. It has a ski report, which is really useful for understanding, you know, kind of what runs are open and where you might want to direct your particular, you know, your trip. You know, so it's kind of cool in that respect because it will kind of give you a nice breakdown of where you can go skiing and what trails are open, what lifts are open, what the weather conditions are, what kind of powder has been received. And it's very simple. All you have to do, for example, let's say if you were to go and check out Big Bear, California, where I'm from, is just type in snow report for Big Bear, or snow report for Mammoth, or snow report for wherever you'd happen to like to go. And it would go ahead and give you a nice breakdown of what that snow report might be. So if we type in, for example, snow report for Big Bear, we can see there's two resorts here in Big Bear. We can see the conditions at the moment are machine groomed. Unfortunately, we haven't had much snow this season, but we can see that the summit is about 60 inches. We can see the weather quite reasonable. We can see that pretty much all the trails are open. And if we click on any one of these, it will go ahead and take us to that specific result. And then we can narrow down and figure out maybe where we would want to go skiing. Let's check out Mammoth, which is another big ski resort here in California. And we can see Mammoth, they actually had a lot more information about it because Mammoth has much more snow than we do at the moment. And so we can kind of get a sense of what trails are open. We can also get a forecast for what is coming down the road in the next couple of days. Now, Google can also be really helpful for finding that next delicious restaurant and dining establishment that we might want to do. So we can search for specific dining options in an area. We can search for specific cuisine. And when you select a restaurant, it will give you the location, contact information. It'll also let you know if it's busy or slow for a particular time. And you can also browse reviews submitted by other people. Now, I personally think that if I were to go into a new area and I was looking where to eat, I personally think Google is probably the most reliable with respect to restaurant reviews, more so than, let's say, like Yelp or OpenTable. I also think it's the most comprehensive and it's integrated right into Maps, which is really nice because I will use that Maps app to be able to navigate to wherever I'm looking for. And it's flexible in terms of how you search. So we can search in, for example, like restaurants in Los Angeles or pizza near Long Beach, or we can just say something like restaurants near me, and it's going to go ahead and will show us those relevant results for what we would like. So let's say we were up in delightful Big Bear, California. We can go ahead and type in Big Bear restaurants. Okay, and it's going to start to show us some restaurants that are near us with those relevant results. So let me go ahead. Let's see if we can find one of my favorite restaurants here. Okay, Oakside's probably my favorite in the area. And we can see here that it is open for dine-in as well as takeout. We can see the reviews. If we go ahead and click on this, we will see more information related to this. And so we can see, for example, the average pricing. We can see the address when they're open. We can see questions and answers as well as the busy and wait time. So we can see right now it's not too busy. And in fact, they're not really busy for lunch. They're more of a dinner place. And we can get a sense of where... and what to order. And I personally like the reviews. I like to understand what people have ordered and where they've had success, in that particular restaurant. We could also type in something like pizza in Manhattan. Let's go with Manhattan Beach. I'm sure if we were to type in pizza for Manhattan, we would end up with a gazillion results, being that I feel like the ancestral home of pizza is, in fact, Manhattan. But Manhattan Beach, an old stomping ground of mine, we can see all the different pizza places that are listed in that particular area. And, you know, that's nice just in terms of being able to find that, where to go get a great slice of pie in South Bay of Los Angeles. Now, we can also click up here. We get lots of other filters. So maybe, in fact, we don't want pizza. Let's say we want to go get sushi, and it will go ahead and change that result. Although, but the fact that we put in pizza is probably going to exclude a lot of sushi places. I cannot imagine there's a lot of sushi pizzas. So maybe we take that pizza operator up top there, and we'll just go ahead and... Okay, well, let's try this again. Sushi, Manhattan Beach, and let's go ahead and see. And yes, now, in fact, it does work. So again, sometimes you got to play around with the operators a little bit to get exactly what you're looking for, but it is more of an art than it is a hard and fast science. Now, we can also use Google for calculations, which can be really useful. I've always had a calculator on my desk, but often I will go to Google to find something, and to do that calculation for me. Google is a full-on scientific calculator as well as unit conversion. And so we can do all different types of math, and it's going to do that for us. And it will respect the order of operations and we'll calculate that correctly. And we can also use it to convert things from something to something, so whether we're going from imperial to metric, calculating data transfer, looking up the price of a currency, we can go ahead and do this. And often, especially for kind of the stuff I don't deal with on a regular basis, like converting, ounces to gallons or something, or liters to grams or something like that. Using that Google search can be quite effective. Now, where I will often use it a lot is in currency translation, so let's say, for example, I have 45.36, let's go ahead and say yen to dollars, and that should be almost nothing. Okay. And in fact, we will see that it will do that conversion for us. Let's say we don't have yen, but we have euro. Okay. Well, this will do that conversion for us, so it's kind of nice and it's going to be up to the minute for the most part. So we can see that this data is pretty up to date for where we're at the moment. So pretty cool in terms of what you can use, Google for. Now, as I mentioned, you can also use it for definitions and spell check. I use it as a spell check constantly. That's probably one of the most use cases I use it for. If it doesn't recognize it, it's going to give you different recommendations for what you could mean. You can also use it for detailed definitions of something. You know, if it's something you don't understand, you know, define hypothalamus, define present value, define recursive. It will go ahead and give you different definitions from lots of different sources for what you are looking for. And we'll give you some options with respect to what that could mean. Because, I mean, there's not always just one definition of one word. There can often be several. So, for example, if we put in define present value here, we'll see the dictionary representation of this, as well as a breakdown. In fact, it even gives us a formula for present value. And if we click this translation and more definitions, it will often take us to other definitions of what that might be. So let's say spectacular. Okay, so if we go ahead and we search for spectacular, we can see there's an adjective as well as a noun. And if we expand upon this, we'll see other options for this as well. And so it's a great way, if you don't know what something means, to be able to look it up. Now, two of the kind of the more premium niche things that you could do with Google search are analyzing trends and then also alerts. Now, trends, let's go ahead and talk about this first. It's kind of like a zeitgeist into what people are looking for. And Google Trends kind of gives us the popularity of a search query within Google. And it kind of gives us some insight with respect to what the world is looking at, looking for, looking up. You know, so if we see, for example, like a particular hit music video or a movie, something in pop culture, we'll typically see a spike in where that term is being searched for on the internet. And we can understand what people are looking for by looking at trends, you know? And so in a lot of ways, if we're wanting to know what's going viral or what's trending, Google Trends can be that the way that we can look that up. And so you can look for specific demographics. You can look for specific areas. You can look for specific terms in terms of what you are looking for. So let's go ahead and take a look at trends.google.com, and we can go ahead and we can get a sense of like what is going on in the world right now. So at the time of this recording, probably the hottest topic is the coronavirus. If we go ahead and we can search directly inside of this, we can see all the different search queries that people are using with respect to the coronavirus. Can I hug my grandchildren after the vaccine? CDC travel guidelines, so on and so forth. And we can see the different terms and how this is being exposed and over time, you know, so we can see here, there's almost no searches for coronavirus in 2008. But if we come over here to, you know, today's, we'll see that there are millions and billions of people searching for COVID and COVID related terms as well. And we can see how that related to other search queries here in the United States and abroad as well. So the last Google tool that we're going to take a look at is Google Alerts. This is one of my favorite tools because it allows me to stay up to date with respect to the different things that are occurring that are relevant to me and things that I want to keep an eye on. Google Alerts is a proactive notification that will send you an email when something gets published, when there's new information about something. It's a great way to stay up to date about your favorite companies, your sports teams, your interests, without actually having to go search for these terms yourself. And you could choose when you get notified, whether it be real time. I personally prefer once a week, as otherwise the notifications can become a little too much. And you could choose what news services. So for example, you could say, I only want reputable news services like newspapers, or I could say, show me everything, blogs and other websites like that as well. And so you could set up your own Google search terms, and then it will send you a notification for when those terms might pop up. And so it's google.com/alerts. Okay. And if we go ahead and we look at this, we can go ahead and create an alert for whatever we're interested in. So let's say we want to know if there's any FASB information, you know, the words FASB and accounting pop up. Okay. Well, what we can do here is we can go ahead and put in the terms that we're interested in. We can go ahead and say create an alert. Okay. And then within this, we can say, you know what? Only email me once a day or maybe once a week. We could say what services and what sources we would want to be included. Maybe I only want legit web or legit news services included. Okay. We can narrow it down to just the United States. So in case that acronym is being used elsewhere, we don't get a lot of false positives. And we can say only the best results or only all results. And in doing so, in this particular example, we will now get an email from Google once a week with news related to the terms FASB and accounting. Okay, so great way of being able to stay on top of what is going on without actually having to monitor it daily yourself. All right, well, that brings us to the end of our presentation for the day and the end of our broadcast. Let's go ahead and have our final review question for the day. Okay, which of the following is not an option for receiving a Google alert? Is it as it happens? Nope, you could definitely do that. Is it once a day? Yep, you can limit it to once a day too. Is it once a week? Yes, you could just get it once a week if you'd like that as well. So in fact, all of these are valid options. You can go ahead and choose whatever frequency that you would like to receive your Google alerts. All right. Well, that is the end of our presentation for today. So what did we talk about? Well, we went really deep on Google search, understanding the different ways that we can utilize this incredible tool to find what we are looking for and to find exactly the information that we need to advance whatever project we would like. We learned about the different ways that we can use operators and modifiers. We looked about some of the specialty searches such as images, math, translation, flights, restaurants, and more. Now, this is just the first part of an ongoing series. In the future, we're going to go ahead and look at the specific products within Google, which I think are really useful. I think, for example, Google Calendar, Gmail, Voice, and others are fantastic tools that not enough people know how to use effectively. So we're going to talk about what that could be. And we're also going to look at all the other Google services for your business that you can choose to use, as well as some of the lesser known products as well. As a reminder, if you are a financial professional, you can earn credits for listening to today's podcast. It's super simple. Head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code GOG1, take a short 5-question exam, and then you will get a certificate of completion earning your credits for today. It's very fast, very effective, great way to stay on top of your licensing to ensure that you will have enough credits to maintain your license. So if you'd like credits for today's broadcast, head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code GOG1. If you like today's broadcast and podcast, please consider following us on social media. You can find us on most social media at CPE Today. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, and others. And if you liked what you heard today, please consider leaving us a review. We're always looking to improve our products and courses. So if you've got any ideas or insight, consider leaving us a review or dropping a comment below in wherever you happen to be watching this podcast. We have lots more great content coming up. We're going to continue our series on the different office productivity solutions in the cloud, including Microsoft 365 and Zoho. We've already done Google Workspaces. So if you're interested in that, you can check out that podcast. We're also going to be doing a series on pivot tables, everything you need to know to use pivot tables effectively in your job, as well as how to avoid identity theft and data breaches inside your organization. So thank you so much for attending and listening to today's podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure being with you here. If you liked it, please consider subscribing. We're available on most platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, and more. And let us know what you think. Thank you for your time and attention. I look forward to seeing you in a podcast again soon. Take care. Bye.